Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Awesome. Everybody got that? Move Forward kicks off next week. And just to be clear, it doesn't matter if the service times have changed, it is happening in the second service. So if you're joining us, we would love to see you there. But good morning, church. It is my privilege to be sharing God's word with us today. Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace are on a well-deserved family holiday, so we pray that it is rejuvenating for them. But it is in their absence, I want to thank them for the privilege of sharing this platform this morning. So I want to start off by asking, have you ever had one of those cringe-worthy moments where you've said or done something that you can't take back? Anyone? And the more you say or the more you do, the worse it gets. Let's give a few examples. The first is you message a friend and you invite them over for a braai, but you, in the message, tell them, don't tell the other friend, because they're going to bring their kids, and their kids always wreak havoc in my house, and so I don't want them to come, okay? But instead of sending it to the friend that you actually want to come, you send it to the friend with the kids. Or when you re-gift something, has anybody re-gifted? Come on, let me see your confessions. We're in the house of the Lord. Thank you. I see that hand. When you re-gift something, and as this person opens it up in front of you, she's excitedly opening up the book, and she's looking through the pages, and then she sees on the front cover, or the first page of the front cover, that there is a message. And she thinks it's from you, but it's not actually. It's from the person who actually gifted it to you, and it says, Dear Amy. This actually wasn't me, I'm just telling you now, but... Or when you send a text about how gross the food is, but instead of sending it to your confidant, you send it to the chef of the meal. These are true things that have happened, guys. Or what about in the days of BBM, when you dramatically block all of your friends after having an argument, but now you have to re-add them and ask them for their pins, and now they know that you actually blocked them. So blind. But, you know, these types of slip-ups can be funny. I mean, we're laughing about them now, and I can neither confirm nor deny that these have been me. But, you know, we can laugh about them in the years to come. But what about relationship slip-ups that happen that have actually serious consequences? What about slip-ups that do lasting damage to some of our relationships? And that is what we're going to be speaking about today. And it is my privilege to be kicking off a new sermon series called Preventing Relation Slips. And over the next couple of weeks, we will be diving into how we can have more life-giving and God-honoring relationships with as little slip-ups as possible. So a couple of years ago, and I say a couple, but I was in matric, so it's actually a long time ago. It makes me sad. But in matric, my best friend Robin and I decided we were going to tackle the mid-mar mile. Now, this was not for any reason to get fit or anything like that, but simply because in matric there were no tours or camps, and we found out that if you go on mid-mar mile, you spend 5 nights in Durban and 1 morning swimming. We were like, this is going to be a jaw. So we signed up. But we didn't see the consequences that you actually have to train for this thing. And for 4 grueling months, we were in the Boxburg pool training every single day for this. But we got there, and we somehow qualified and got onto camp, got onto this trip. And it was really incredible. We had so much fun. We had days on the beach with some of our closest friends. But 2 days before we swam mid-mar, we were at one of the beaches, and we were sort of playing that game, Robin and I and 2 other friends, we were playing that game in the ocean where as a wave comes at you, you decide whether you're going to go over it or under it. And we must have been in the sea doing this for hours. But then, all of a sudden, I could feel rocks underneath my feet, and I was battling to catch my feet. It was sharp, but it was also slimy because of the moss that grows onto rocks. And with horror, I looked around to see if my friends were thinking the same thing. And I could see it dawning on them too that they too could only feel rocks beneath them. And so at the same time, I could hear whistles and shouting, distant shouting. And I turned around, and to my absolute horror, I saw how far we had strayed away. The little flags on the beach, and I say little because they were really far and tiny, they were a far way away. The beach was a far way away. And the lifeguard, the little lifeguard, was waving his hands dramatically on the beach side, on the shore side, saying, like, can you start swimming back? This is not funny. So we thought, well, this can't be too hard. We've been training for 4 months. And so we started to try swim back. But it is hard if you've been in one of these situations. And the sea is very different to the Boksburg pool that we had trained in. And so to cut out a very eventful 30 minutes of the story, there were 4 of us, but there were 3 lifeguards. And so all 3 of my friends got one of those Baywatch thingies, and they just paddled nicely while holding onto the strong lifeguard. And I had to swim behind them, trying to catch my breath, trying not to let the waves go over my head, but with the lifeguard shouting at me instructions on how to do this. So eventually we got sort of safer, and we could feel and see that we were getting closer to where we needed to be between the 2 flags. And we started to think that this was quite hilarious, you know, like 4 teenage girls being saved by these 3 good-looking lifeguards. And so we were giggling and everything, but the lifeguards did not think this was funny at all. And so he kept explaining to me, like, don't try swim back, because I kept trying to say, like, I think it's fine now. I think I can turn back towards the beach. And he kept saying, you have to swim parallel to the beach against the currents to try get back into the 2 flags, and then the current will help pull you back. When we got to the beach, we were still amazed at how we had ended up so far. But luckily, we got away with a few cuts on our toes, and that was it for to tell of our great adventure. But if you've ever been in a situation like this, you know how this happened. The currents and the riptides are so strong, yet are so subtle, that you won't even feel it happening to you. You won't even feel that the current is pulling you away from where you're supposed to be. And today I want to suggest that it is the same for our relationships. You know, we don't ever go purposefully into our day thinking, this is the day I'm going to ruin that relationship. Or this is the day that I'm going to lose it with my spouse or kids. Or this is the day I'm going to say something or do something that I regret. We don't purposefully do that. But our relationships drift. Our relationships get pulled away in different directions. There are tides, there are currents that if we are not intentional, church, will pull us away from where we are supposed to be. And if we are not intentional enough with our relationships and building God-honoring relationships, we will one day look back at them and realize that they are in danger, that it's slippery and sharp and rocky underneath us, that it's not in the safety between the 2 flags. You might even have people on the side waving you down, trying to get your attention. But Thrive, if we are going to be people who prevent relation slips, we need to be people who are intentional about our relationships. So I want to encourage us by doing 3 things that can help us to be more intentional about our relationships. And they are to be careful of the currents, to focus on the flags, and to hold on to the lifeguard. So be careful of the currents. Whether we like it or not, we are swimming in an ocean that is filled with different currents trying to pull us in every different direction except for where we want to be. Some are subtle, some are strong, but there is always a current. And the current is the culture around us. The culture and the world we live in has many opinions on how to navigate our relationships. And unfortunately, many of us, or all of us, have become accustomed to this way of living. Like currents, they are subtle and so familiar that we sometimes just adopt it without even thinking. We can follow and copy TikTok trends. We look at what our colleagues and friends are doing on social media. We can look at the people around us, our parents, how they have done relationships, And we can compare ourselves to these behaviors and just take them on thinking it is the norm. And before we know it, our relationships have drifted and slipped out of the safe area of the flags. Yeah. There are currents, church. And in our culture, we need to be aware of them. We need to be careful and mindful of them so that we do not slip out of the two flags, knowing where God's best is for us. So here are some of the currents that cause us to drift away. Helicopter parenting. Anybody heard of this or seen it happen? It's a very subtle current. And the reason for this is the world has made it into this under the banner that this is okay because it's the way we love our kids. But are we loving our children by protecting them from things like hard work or things like disappointment? Two real things that we will always face. I'd say it's loving our children when we teach them how to work hard. Yeah. It's loving our children when we teach them how to face disappointment with grace. It's loving when we let their characters be formed and strengthened by these two things. It's such a subtle current, but we can be trapped in it so easily. And it can cause our children to drift into spaces of entitlement or laziness or expecting things to go their way every single time, which will cause relation slips. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was spending time with my 18-month-old nephew, and we were at his cousin's party. And at this party, there was a presents table. And this little boy, he's not even two, already knows that presents are for him, because he has always received presents from his family. And so he kept looking at this table asking, presents, presents, presents. And none of them were obviously for him. And so I wanted to be the hero auntie and said to my sister, oh, I can quickly go and get him something. Like, it won't be a big deal, just so that he's not too sad. And she stopped me in my tracks and said, no, 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 no. We are not starting that today. Yeah. Even at 18 months old, he has to understand that this is a time to celebrate someone else. He can deal with his disappointments and he will be okay. And I just thought how harsh this was, but it is true. Yeah. You know, we are to be people who teach our children that they will face disappointment. Yeah. Imagine sending him to school and to him getting to invited to other parties and he's expecting a gift. Yeah. Not a good look, yeah. Okay? And so helicopter parenting is a real thing and we can so easily be sucked up into it. We need to be careful of this current. Then there's the current of individualism. It's a current that can really sneak up on us. The culture around us teaches us that we need to get ahead no matter what, and we can do it by ourselves. We wonder why we battle to form connections with work colleagues or with friends and at college or varsity or at school. But are we only connecting with these people because we need something? I once got terrible advice for university. When I was first starting there, I had someone who say to me, just find someone who you sort of like in each of your classes so that when you bunk a lecture, you've got someone to take notes for you. Terrible advice, yeah. So ungodly. But we do this all the time. I know I can definitely be guilty of this, putting the goal in front of the person. But the fact of the matter is that this is a current that is dangerous. Imagine if I had been swimming in that ocean alone and that had happened to me. It would have been so much more scary. We need to realize that we can't do life alone. We shouldn't do life alone. Instead of using people to get ahead, why not work with people to get ahead? Our lives will be richer for it when we collaborate with others, when we let others shine by highlighting their gifting and their talents. God made us for community, and we are better together. And that's why I'm going to take a moment to encourage us. Life groups kick off in a couple of weeks, and these are the best places to be. Yes, give it a hand if you're part of a life group. You know, I want to encourage us that life groups are the flags in our lives. They keep us safe because we're with like-minded people who encourage us and teach us in where God wants us to be. And so put up those flags and stay in those flags this term and sign up for a life group because it will help to fight the current that pulls us away. What about the currents of devices and technology that cause us to drift? We have allowed technology to occupy every space of our lives, and as a result, we often feel disconnected. You know, Kula and I have to work on this constantly. We've realized that in our busiest weeks, it feels like normal would be for any of your families too. It just feels like we are passing ships in the night. We don't connect much, we're busy, there's too much going on. But when reflecting on this, we realize that the time that we actually do have together, we don't use it wisely. Instead of perhaps having dinner at the table, we flop down on the couch and binge watch our favorite series on Netflix. We let technology occupy that space. You know, instead of checking in and taking a bit of time to see how each other's doing and how we're really doing in this busy week, we try to get an extra hour of emails done in the evenings. We can't let this current take us. And this is where we have to swim upstream and against the culture, because it is so easy to let it be the norm in our families, but we need to be intentional. We've also allowed our devices to be the way we conduct our relationships. I saw this quote, which I found to be so true. It says, "Relationships are harder now because conversations have become texting, arguments have become phone calls, and feelings have become status updates." Church, we are meant to be and have face-to-face, eye-to-eye, meaningful relationships. Let's not let the digital culture overtake us and occupy every space in our lives. It's a current that we can be sucked up into, but if we are intentional about it, we can fight it. What about the current called cancel culture? The more I've read and researched about the cancel culture that has exploded over the last few years, the more I begin to realize how ungodly and how unbiblical it is. In very basic terms, cancel culture is the practice that when someone does something we disagree with, we just cancel them. We act as if everything they've ever done, even the good that they might have done in the past, does not exist. We attack the person instead of the situation, instead of the act that we need to address. We cancel the person. Cancel culture has become such a norm in our society, but what is it teaching us? That we have to be perfect, because if we make one mistake, we will be banished from the face of this earth. I saw this quote which says, "Cancel culture stems from the limiting belief that we have to be perfect to matter." It teaches us that we can be God. We can judge what others say or do, and we can decide whether they're worthy or not. It ingrains in us the belief that we can overlook our own faults because, hey, I'm only human. But if someone else makes a mistake, we cancel them, and we don't show the same grace that we show ourselves. This is a toxic culture that we need to be so aware of. We need to be reminded that Jesus doesn't cancel us, and we shouldn't cancel others. We need to be reminded that Jesus came to save while we were still sinners. And yes, he doesn't condone our sin, but he loves us still. He loves us the way he finds us. And we need to extend the same grace to others. I love this quote from Bob Goff, which says, "Loving people the way Jesus did is great theology." When in doubt, just love people like Jesus did. Cancel culture, a current to be careful of. You know, all of these examples are subtle, and if we are not careful, we can let it just become our norm. We can just adopt what's going on in our world and think this is what life is, and this is how things are. But no, we serve a God that has kingdom principles that is upside down to the world, and we have to fight these currents. Romans 12 verses 1 to 2 encourages us this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you'll fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Church, God wants the best for us, and it's between the two flags where we see that. Because all we need to do, like the scripture encourages us, is to fix our attention on him and what he wants, and he will change us from the inside out. Which leads me to the second way that we can be intentional about our relationships, which is to focus on the flags. Now, I don't know about you, but after that horrific event and experience, every time I've gone to the beach and I've swum in the sea, I am careful to focus on the flags. So when I am in the sea, I make sure that I am in the middle of those flags, and everyone around me needs to be in the middle. I even chase after strangers and be like, hey, come in here, you know? And but I've never gone to the lifeguard and questioned why they're there. I never go to them and say, you know what, it's very busy today. Can we just, like, make it a little bit bigger so that we're not all, like, cramped, you know? Or I don't go to him and say, you know, today it looks like it needs to come in a little bit, so I'm just going to move it for you. I don't need to know why the flags are there. Because there is someone who does know. There's someone who knows the science between or behind currents and riptides. They have known the environment for years. They know how the ocean and the sea works. I don't need to know, but they know. And all I need to do is trust that they know. And that I can swim happily in between the flags, knowing that I'm safe. And do I still have fun? Yes. Do I still experience what it's like to swim in the sea? Yes. And church, it's the very same with the principles of God. Picture the flags as the principles and parameters that God gives us in his word. Sometimes they can feel restricting. But if we trust that God is good, if we know that he is a loving father, then we know that the parameters he gives us in his word is for our good. He's got our best interests at heart. We don't do it with the flags on the beach, so why do we do it with God's word? You know, and I'm guilty of this, we try and make it like sound a bit better. Or we take a commandment and we try to put some worldly view in there just to let it suit us better. We simply need to be obedient to God's word, knowing that it is there to help us, not to harm us, to give us freedom and not restrict us. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We simply need to trust that God is good and he wants the best for us. But in order for us to do this and to know what he wants, we need to be in his word every single day and not just read it, but also do what it says. You know, it's not just when things feel rocky under our feet that we go to God's word. It's not just when we realize that we're in danger that we try to get back in between the flags. It's supposed to be something that we do every single day. James 1 verses 22 to 25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in whatever they do. So we will be blessed when we remember and focus on the flags. So practically speaking, what does this mean for us? What does it help in our relationship? What wisdom does God give us for our relationships? So I want to read a couple of verses, and it's a long portion of scripture, so stay with me, but take note of all the highlighted bits in this. And it's from Ephesians 5 verse 21 to Ephesians 6 verse 9. And it's all about relationships. And it's actually entitled Spirit-Guided Relationships. And this is for wives and husbands. It says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you, wives, should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it. Just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely, as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. A very lengthy scripture, but from the scripture we see clear guidelines of how to behave or how to act in these different roles. And so I'm going to touch on some of them really quickly. Wives and husbands, we are to submit to one another. We do this by wives respecting and submitting to our husbands as the head of our home. And I know that this is often quoted, and I grew up thinking this. It's quoted out of context and in a way that really a negative way to define gender roles. But what I love about reading it in context is that there is a way that husbands need to behave as well. How did Jesus show his love? Because it says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And how did Jesus show that? He did it by sacrificing himself, by serving instead of being served, by laying his life down. And I don't know about you, but I will gladly submit to someone who loves me like this. Because in this way, it is actually mutual submission. It is self-giving love that can only strengthen our marriage and relationships. Children, we are to honor our parents no matter how old they are, no matter how old we are. To honor is to esteem, to show great respect. And I love that this is a commandment that comes with a blessing. It shows how important it is for God. Fathers, don't treat your children in such a way that provokes them, but rather using God's word, teach them kingdom principles that will set them up for life. Slaves and masters, very old school words used right here. And we might feel affronted by this language, but what is it referring to? It's our bosses and the people who we work under, our leaders and those who we lead. Let's be employees and followers who show respect, who work enthusiastically, who do what is right even when it's not seen. And let's be bosses, employers, and leaders who lead with love and by serving, not out of a sense of power. When we take these instructions seriously, seriously, church, when we realize that God's word is still as relevant as it today as it was when it was first written, we are putting the flags down in our lives. We will be creating life-giving, God-honoring relationships. And sometimes in order to keep within the flags, we have to swim against the currents, like I've said. But let's remember that God's kingdom is upside down to the world around us, and we are called to be different. Let's focus on the flags and do all that we can to stay within them. Our relationships and our lives will be so much better for it. So you might be thinking, well, that's a lot of, I've got relationships that don't fit into any of those categories. What does the Bible say about that? There's a phrase in the Bible called one another. It is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament, and it is a word derived from the Greek word eleleon, which means one another, each other, mutually, or reciprocally. 59 of these occurrences give us specific commands of how to treat one another, how to relate to one another. So I'm going to read them now, and as a short time of reflection, I thought everyone could close their eyes or look down and take notes. But I want you, as I read these commands from the New Testament, to pick one or two that you can implement this week. Maybe you're already thinking of a relationship that needs to be brought inside of the flags. And maybe some of these could help you in doing that. So reflect on them and choose one or two, like I've said. Here they are. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourself. Live in harmony with one another. Build up one another. Be like-minded towards one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Consider others better than yourself. Look to the interests of one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. Show hospitality to one another. Employ the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another. As we stay in this time of reflection with every head bowed and eye closed, I want to do a quick recap. If we are going to avoid relationship slips, we need to do three things. Be careful of the current. Let's be aware of its influences and of the culture around us. Secondly, to focus on the flags. Let's use God's word as the parameters on how to treat those we love, how to treat other people. And if we're ever in doubt, let's simply love like Jesus did. And thirdly, it is to hold on to the lifeguard. The lifeguards that I encountered might not have been the most gracious towards us, but they would never have just left us there to struggle on our own. Church, we have an even greater lifeguard, better than any human one. He is kind and loving and gracious and always on the lookout for us. And so I want to take a moment to pray for two groups of people. The first in this moment is I want you to pinpoint maybe a relationship in your life, a relationship that might be outside of the flags. Maybe it's feeling a little bit rocky. And I want to pray that God would be able to intervene and do something in that relationship, whether it's through action of yourself or through other people. I'm going to pray for reconciliation. So I'm not going to ask you to indicate if this is you, but if you've got a person in mind, just hold that person in mind as I pray right now. Father God, I thank you that you are a God of reconciliation. You are a God who loves. You are a God who extends grace. You are a God who forgives. And I pray for every person who is struggling maybe in a relationship that feels a little bit rocky. Maybe it's with a parent or a sibling, a work colleague, a boss. God, would you bring restoration? Would you bring forgiveness and the boldness and the courage to forgive where that needs to happen? We pray for your touch on that right now. And secondly, I want to pray for those of us who may be way out of the flags, not just in our relationships, but with our life in general. Perhaps we have let the world's influences drag us down and away from God. Perhaps we have purposefully swum outside of the flags, and we are struggling to find our feet with the rocks underneath it. You don't have to struggle anymore. You have a loving Savior waving you down from the beachside, swimming towards you and saying, just take hold of me. Just take hold of my hand and follow me. And so if this is you, it would be my absolute privilege to lead you in a prayer. This is nothing weird or spooky. It is just for me to see who you are. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three, and it's just so that I can see who I'm praying for and see who we are praying for as a church. But if this is a decision that you want to make, if you're feeling like you need a Savior, a Lord and Savior who loves you, you have one. His name is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you while you were still a sinner, and he bore our sins, and he got resurrected 3 days later so that we can have a hope and a life in eternity. So if this is you, I would love the privilege, absolute privilege of praying for you. So on the count of three, won't you raise your hand, and I'll see you and thank you. One, two, three. If this is you, if you want to dedicate your life to God, if you want to see, take hold of the Savior who is calling out your name, I would love the honor of praying for you. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. I see that hand on the left side. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Father God, we thank you that you are a loving God, and if you made that decision, you can pray this prayer in your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my Savior, that you extend saving grace towards me. Thank you for your kindness towards me, God. Thank you that you died for me, and I believe that you died for me and rose again for me 3 days later. I'm sorry for everything that has kept me outside of the flags. Would you help me to truly follow you from this day forward? And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. Come on, let's celebrate with those people today.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.